Let's get into the footy first of all. Let's have a chat with Brett Anderson from SEN's Inside Football. It's an absolute must if you love your footy. And, well, he was on the boundary yesterday. He's a massive Melbourne man, his BA, but, gee, the Dockers, what an amazing 2 weeks. Brett, nice to have you on.
BP, good to be with you. I wish we were talking under better circumstances after yesterday's loss by the Demons, but as a Melbourne supporter, you come to expect that. That's why I tipped Freo.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, we were watching this game while we were waiting to go on air in Canberra, and the fluctuations, Melbourne, big second quarter, Fremantle came from nowhere, 7-goal third quarter, and then we, you know, everyone expected Melbourne to charge again. The Dockers hang on, McCarthy with the last goal of the game there at the punt right end in the goal square. And look, before I talk about your Demons, there's plenty to dissect, but for Fremantle, 2 weeks ago, they didn't have a pulse, Brett, when they limped off the Adelaide Oval. This was a sore and sorry side, and it's been an amazing resurgence the last 2 weeks.
It has, and when you look at who they've beaten, the Bulldogs last week, obviously the reigning premiers in Melbourne today, who are the spruik or boom team this year that everyone thinks is going to jump right up the ladder at home on the MCG, where they don't often win games of footy against anyone, really, Fremantle. It's been amazing 2 weeks for them, and the way that they've turned it around. And I think there's no secret that it's been turned around thanks to a few changes in the lineup by bringing in some kids. And whilst they didn't have a massive impact yesterday in Griffin Logan and also Harley Balick, they still give some enthusiasm, and I think they're able to cover the ground a little bit better than what a few of their older players certainly are able to do. And it's just, I think it gives that extra little boost to a team that can get a little bit stale. So I think that's been a big part of the turnaround, but also they're moving the ball a bit better. If you hadn't seen them yesterday and also against the Dogs, but the way that they moved the ball in round one and round two was, I guess it was a polar opposite to the way they looked at moving the ball yesterday. Every time they went forward, they did look dangerous. Melbourne dominated a lot of the game, but the way that Freo were able to make the most of their chances when they went forward with Cam McCarthy looking dangerous up in attack, and Michael Walters came into the game after half-time when he looked a little bit banged up early. They've certainly turned a few little things around, and they're certainly a team now that teams should be fearing to go and play, but also to play on the road.
Brett, he's a super player, Cam McCarthy, and if he can get himself absolutely 100% cherry ripe fit, maybe the best is yet to come. He's got some freakish talent.
Oh, he's got the ability, absolutely. It's just whether, yeah, as you mentioned, BP, that it all comes down to him and him getting himself right off the field and making sure that he's ticking every box in his preparation and his lifestyle. So the fact that he played well yesterday was a great bonus for Freo, and I guess in some ways it validates their decision to bring him across. They didn't end up having to give up as much as what they were going to a year ago with two first-round picks, but that was his best game so far for the Dockers. Whilst he only kicked, I think, the two goals, the amount of, I guess, goal involvements that he did have in scoring involvements, playing high up the ground, I think he was the biggest player in the ground for metres gained, well over 600 or 700 metres, so that probably shows how good his work rate was, but he's also his ability to go direct and drive the ball forward.
We speak about the young talent at the Dockers. They've added some real fresh legs, as you've mentioned, some real bite around the ground, but gee, great yesterday to watch Fife at critical moments, Sanderland's Mundy, who has just been a model of consistency for such a long time, and Lachie Neale, who's been able to cement himself as a chief midfielder for the last 3 years. And, you need your big guns, obviously, in and around the footy when it really counts. And, suddenly that side just looks a hell of a lot better. They've got North Melbourne next Saturday night at home, and they could be 3-2.
They could be. And I think that was what sort of showed up yesterday, BP, was that the Fremantle's best players all played really well.
Yep.
And had a massive impact on the contest, where Melbourne had quite a few of their players down. And only probably a positive from a Melbourne point of view. They only lost by 2 points when they had quite a few senior players or their best players either out of the side or not playing well at all to only go down by that margin. But Fremantle's leaders certainly stood up. And Lachie Neale and Fife and also Mundy rotated through the forward line, got quite a few of their goals down there. But they also got a couple from midfield, and that's where Melbourne's defensive transition in midfield was really poor yesterday. Their inability to track them back. And Lachie Neale's goal just before half-time, I think, gave them the impetus. That third quarter fight back, Melbourne were out to a 27-point lead, and he skirted down forward and basically rolled the dice that the ball was going to get to him. And in the end, it bobbed into his arms inside 50, and he kicked the goal after the siren. So no, they were outstanding, and it helps when you've got your leaders certainly standing up. And Fremantle's did yesterday, and unfortunately for Melbourne, theirs didn't.
Brett Anderson from SEN's Inside Footy, just wrapping up the games on a big Saturday. We've got a couple of games coming up today, and of course, Easter Monday football with the Hawks and the Cats. The game I called yesterday, the Giants and Port Adelaide. Look, I thought it was a really good game. The best day I've ever been in Canberra. It's normally freezing. It was 20 degrees, blue skies, the sun setting. The ground was in absolutely superb condition. Well done to the curators up there. And look, Port Adelaide, certainly for 4 weeks of the season, have been super competitive, winning two games, just not quite long enough against the Crows. And that was the same case against GWS when the whips were cracking late in that game. They just couldn't quite sustain it to go with the Giants, who we know were going to run out the game pretty hard.
Yeah, I listened to your call on the way home from the MCG and then caught the second half. And look, Port, by all reports, were well in the game early and probably could have been a little bit further in front. And when you look at the numbers post-game, you think, well, there was a lot of big numbers on the GWS side in the end based on their second-half dominance. And you look at Ollie Wines, only had, I think, the 19 or 20 possessions, the same as Travis Spoke, while Spoke pushed forward and got his two goals. All the big numbers were on GWS's side. And I guess that last quarter avalanche where the floodgates really opened was, I guess you could have seen it coming when you look at those figures. But oh look, Johnny Patton with six goals. I think that's probably the biggest thing that GWS take out of the game. If he can stand up and have a really strong year after a bit of injury over the pre-season, yep. That's going to be a massive bonus for them. We saw Tom Cleary really struggle on him yesterday. GWS did what we probably expected them to do, but I think Port Adelaide certainly, they wouldn't have lost any admirers yesterday with the way they went about their footy.
I'll tell you what, I've been looking at Twitter this morning. Plenty of fans around the footy industry. Heath Shaw playing forward. I think Jeremy Cameron tweeted, Heath Shaw staying up forward. I'd like to see that. And geez, he was at his chirpy best late in the game. We thought he was...
I wasn't overly keen on that VP, what he did with Tom Cleary. I thought the first time he had a crack at him, leave it at that. But when he went back the second time and had another dip after Patton took that strong mark, from a senior player, I just didn't think that was the way that you should be showing the way, because footy's got a funny way of coming back and biting you in the bum at some stage later in the year. And I think Heath probably should know better than that. I think there's probably a case where he sits there and thinks, well, if I had my time over, I might not have gone the second one. The first one, okay, but not the second time.
I can see that point of view, but very hard to change the stripes.
It adds some theatre, certainly it does. And I know Glenn Luft tweeted yesterday about what great entertainment it was. And in some ways it was. But from a footy point of view, and I think from a coaching point of view, I don't think Leon Cameron would have been overly keen on it.
Snapshot of last night. I did catch the Gold Coast Carlton game. The Gold Coast certainly with a big third quarter really setting up that result. And, gee, the Adelaide Crows, the best scoring team in the AFL right now. A massive first half. Eddie Betts with six last night. It's getting a lot of love around the footy industry. And, gee, they've taken their game to the next level, the Crows. There's no doubt about it.
Well, they have. I flicked between both games, and they really made a mess of Essendon early. And it was based on Taylor Walker. He kicked five goals just after quarter time, and he was the real one who got them going. And then Eddie Betts sort of flowed in behind him, and then obviously ended up overtaking him. Some of the goals he kicks are absolutely unbelievable. But Adelaide's forward power is amazing when you consider that Josh Jenkins wasn't playing and Mitch McGovern was out with a hamstring injury. They continue to find ways to score. And the midfield that we had some question marks over at the start of the year is continuing to get the job done. And if anything, it maybe looks stronger than what it was last year, which is a bit of a surprise considering there's still a few players that aren't in that side. So they're going on, they're firing on all cylinders. On the other side, though, for the Bombers, I thought they fought the game out quite well. A few of their players who were a bit down in the first half had better second halves. And I think Joe Danaher can take a little bit from the game as well. I thought he was okay. The game that Eddie had was interesting because Tom Lynch had five goals about the same time as what Taylor Walker did. He kicked four in the second quarter, and he just looked too big and strong. So they that's two wins in a row now for Gold Coast, and a win at Eddie had. So a bit like Fremantle, where the Wolves seemed to be at the door of Rodney Eade 2 weeks ago. Now we're sitting there thinking, well, hang on, it's a very even competition. They've got two wins on the board. They're the same as Melbourne now and a couple of other teams. They're finding themselves in a much better spot, and their draw, I think, is okay in the next couple of weeks.
I think they're one of the most interesting teams, BA, for me, the Gold Coast, and I just wonder what level can they go to. I mean, obviously, their footy, once they can get it and run and start off half-back and who am I forgetting in the middle? Aaron Hall, of course, who can just really run and carry and get that meterage and Lynch, such an imposing target. Peter Wright's going to get better. I sort of wonder where they sit in the mix, because when they are exposed and can be a bit vulnerable, they can look as bad as anyone, they can look as good as anyone when they're up and going.
They can, and I think no player in the last 2 weeks has exemplified that more than Brandon Matera. His footy over the last fortnight's been amazing, and something that we probably think that he's always had in him. He's shown it at times at NEFL level, but when he's come up to AFL level, he's been okay without being that real standout, but the last 2 weeks he's kicked a bucket load of goals. I think last night he might have had 30-odd possessions.
Yep.
So he's finding a way to impact the game rather than just being a small forward. He's getting up and getting a lot of the ball, and he kicked 5 or 6 last week. So he's really turned it around. In some ways, I've been in line with the way that Gold Coast have played their footy as well. But Gary Ablett back in the midfield last night, plenty of the footy again. Probably wasn't the best player on the ground, but he was very influential once again. And look, Gold Coast are certainly a better side with him in the midfield, but you do understand why Rodney thought about putting him forward to try and build through that young midfield group. But at the moment, they probably just need Gazza's hand in there.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Carlton fans who were booing Gazza last night, have a good lad look at yourself in the mirror this morning. Brett, thank you very much. We'll read all your great stuff in SEN's Inside Footy, and we'll catch you on the radio very soon.
No worries, BP. Is 4:22 too early for kids to get up and eat Easter eggs like mine did this morning?
No, I like to get up and catch a flight at 4:22, so if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for the kids.
Could not believe it.
Thank you, BA. Nice work, Brett Anderson. Just juggling fatherhood